In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God, Amen. We have to pay attention to all of the small words in the Gospel. It says, then was one brought to him. After what? After what? Something happened, and then one was brought to him. Well, there was a man that had a withered hand, and the Lord healed this man. And this incited the Jews, because this was something that, well, the fathers of the church look at this very symbolically. A person who has a withered hand is a person who denies the poor around him mercy by giving. His hand is withered. It's in a knot. You see? It's in a knot. Everything that I possess is for me. It is for me. I earned it. I made it. Nobody helped me. I did this all alone. This is a person who is essentially without God. He doesn't acknowledge God. He doesn't realize the things that God does for him on a daily basis. But he does not willingly extend his hand. In this case, the Lord saw this man, and he saw that, you know, he had been in this condition for such a long time that he didn't trust in anything. So the Lord said, let me do this to you. And he did. And the people were amazed. So then, after that, they brought him a man who was similarly paralyzed, but in a completely different way. They say that he was possessed by a demon, and so he was. The man with a paralyzed hand was perhaps paralyzed because of the demon of the love of money, the demon who works into our hearts saying, I haven't enough. I will never have enough. My heart is unfulfilled by the blessings that the Lord has given me. You know, it's true. If you live a life of thanksgiving, you will be joyful. Joy isn't dependent on what you have. There are plenty of people that are miserable who have so much. So they brought him this man who was paralyzed. He could not see. He could not hear. And because he couldn't hear, you've been around the people. You even perhaps known of the movie starlet, Marilee Matlin, I think is her name. Marilee Matlin. She's deaf, and when she speaks English, she's never heard a word. So she doesn't know how English is pronounced. Or if she were French, she wouldn't know how French was pronounced, or Russian, or German, or whatever. That's how she speaks. And when she speaks out loud, she speaks that way because she cannot hear. So this man, in addition to being blind and deaf, he couldn't speak. So he couldn't speak, he couldn't begin to inquire. And this is the thing that I lay at the feet of the Jews more than any other thing. Suppose you saw something that was astounding to you. Something that you thought, well, this just can't be. Wouldn't it behoove you to begin to ask intelligent questions? This was the basis upon which all Socratic and Platonic learning took place in the Lyceum in Greece. They didn't say anything. The teachers didn't say anything. There were no declarative sentences, only interrogatives. They just asked questions. How is this possible? Well, how is that possible? And then the students learned to reason. Now, we know that the Jews meticulously go over the Torah. They go over it and over it and over it and over it and over it. Their Bible, which they call the Tanakh. They have two other kinds of literature. They call it the prophets, and then the writings. So if you read something, for example, like the Song of Songs, it's just a writing. It doesn't have any of the importance or the weight that the first five books of Moses have. The prophets do not have the same rank as the first five books of Moses. And they pore over it and pore over it. And they continuously ask questions. And yet, when the living word of God came, they ceased to ask questions. From that time on, they simply shouted in declaratives, "This can't be. This is wrong. If he's doing this, it's by magic. If he's doing this, it's because he's casting out demons by a demon." Think about this. They didn't ask. Don't you think that our Lord God and Savior Jesus Christ, who did so much, wouldn't have answered their questions if they were coming from a good place? Look what the young man, who is sometimes referred to as Barnabas in Scripture, because we know that Mark, when he writes about his uncle, he adds one line that aren't in the other synoptic gospels. When he saw the young man who came to him and said, "Good master, what should I do to inherit eternal life?" In Mark it says, he looked at him and he loved him. He knew the question wasn't coming to test him. Like, how smart are you? You think you're smart? I've heard you're smart, but you're not as smart as me. I'm going to ask you a question now that you can't answer. By the way, this woman over here, this suffering woman, when she first brought me to her priest, Abuna Lua Cedros, I asked him these kinds of questions. I said, "Have you ever read Nietzsche? Have you ever read Nikos Kazantzakis? Have you ever read..." And the Buddha went, no. "Don't know who these people are. Did you go to a clerical school?" No, I didn't. I read the Bible. At the end of this, he told now Abuna Moros and now Abuna Shanuda, before they were Sami and Ado, he said, "This man will never be a Christian." Right? Because I was asking in that way. But there was something also that I wanted to do in this moment, and that was to appear before him as someone of substance. It wasn't that I was antagonistic, but I wanted to show him that I'm not just this empty vessel. Now, I was empty of all of the things that I required spiritually in order to have a relationship with Jesus Christ. Completely empty. But in a way, that was a good thing. Suppose I had been something else, then that something else would have taken a portion of the place where the Lord alone was meant to dwell. I asked the things that I asked of Abuna Lua, and I asked them aggressively because I wanted to show him that I am a man of power, I am a man of thinking, I am a man of discernment. And without saying it, he kind of, I'm sure, said within himself, "Oh yeah, we'll see about that." And then he began to open up the Bible and show me some of the keys of the interpretation of Scripture. Why didn't the Jews do that? The Lord would have seen inside their hearts those who were asking because they didn't want to appear to be of no substance. They didn't want to be insignificant. But at the same time, yes, I want to know. Look at that, venial magician, Simon. You know, he wanted to buy the Holy Spirit. He said, "That looks good to me. How do you make withered hands straighten? How do you make leprosy go away? How do you make the maimed to be whole? How do you make the crippled to walk? How do you make the blind to see? How do you make the deaf to hear? How do you do all that stuff? What a revenue stream. If I could do that, do you know how rich I would be?"
I close down all the hospitals that are around here. I say, yeah, cancer, get out of here. And the guy would be healed. How much would you pay me? How much would you pay me to get rid of your cancer? To get rid of your heart disease? How much would you pay me to make your liver or your pancreas in first class condition? To get all of the junk out of your lungs from years of smoking? How much would you pay me? See, Simon was thinking in this way. If I have this Holy Spirit, I can do these things to my good. Well, the Lord let the apostle Paul say, you're going to go around being led by someone for a season. And in that moment, he was struck blind. And we get the word by trying to buy a position in the church. It's called simony, after Simon. Well, the Jews didn't do that. But they had something that prevented them. I don't know what it is. To me, it's illogical. Because I would have heard what he had to say before I made a decision about him or the philosophy that he was offering to the people for free and giving signs that his philosophy was credible. Look at the Acts. Look at the Acts themselves and then decide. You know, this is one of the things that's wrong with our public discourse in politics. People don't listen. They just have these big mouths with these big megaphones or microphones, and they stand on their soapbox or their orange crate, and they just continuously bloviate. Just bleh is coming out of them. Nobody listens. Nobody listens. Maybe that's the trouble. Maybe these were just the precursors of what we're having in our society now. Because I'm willing to listen. I'm willing to listen. I've said this many times. I'm willing to give up the worship of Jesus Christ if you can prove to me that there's someone greater than Jesus Christ. Now, you know, that's going to be kind of hard. Because what is this person going to show me? Is he going to show me healings? That's been done. Is he going to show me walking on water? That's been done. Is he going to show me rising from the dead? That's been done. What is he going to show me? So, of course, it's an absurd statement to take what I've just said and make it a question in your own mind about my faith. No, there's one God. It's a Jesus Christ. No one has done, no one has said, no one continues to do what this man does. And I use the man in terms of his incarnation, because in truth, he's the second hypostasis of the Holy Trinity, the Son, the eternal Son, the only begotten of the Father. But they didn't ask. They didn't ask. And it's just the most amazing thing in the world. So, there's another line. The Lord said, okay, I understand. I look to you like a man who is worthless. What did the disciple say? He said, when he was told, look, we believe we have found the Christ, Jesus of Nazareth. And the first thing that came out of his mouth, I'm speaking of Nathanael, can any good thing come out of Nazareth? He was from a lowly position. So the Lord said, maybe they don't ask, or maybe they don't do because they're offended in me. So, okay, you are wondering how I cast out demons. May I ask you, how do your sons cast out demons? Because the disciples of Jesus Christ were the sons of these people that were railing against Jesus. And if you look at Luke chapter 10, verse 17, the disciples come back joyfully to the Lord. And they say, Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name. In other words, when a disciple of the Lord cast out a demon, he said, in the name of Jesus Christ, I adjure you, remove yourself from this person. Leave this body. Go back from whence you came. In the name of Jesus. So Jesus is saying, now, if I cast out devils and you don't like it because I'm casting them out, how can your sons cast out devils using my name? The inconsistencies drive me crazy because I have tremendous respect for the intellection of Jewry. Even today, we have so much that we owe to Jews in science, in popular art, in philosophy, in literature. I mean, there are Jews who have won the Nobel Prize for literature, like Bernard Malamud. Maybe you don't know the name, but you should realize that we have a great indebtedness to their intellectual capacity. So the question then is, the question that puzzles me is, why didn't the Jews use that? What was it that was preventing them from doing that? And I have no answer for you. I have no answer. But they will certainly pay, as all will, when you know it's written that blessed is he who will dash your infants against the rock. Remember from the Psalms? Blessed is he who will take your child and crush him against the rock. The rock is the Lord Jesus Christ. All people will be measured against this. And upon whom this rock falls, it's also written, it will grind him to powder. And certainly from the Holocaust and from other things, you can see what has happened to the Jews. They were chased around the world for centuries. For centuries. And they today still deny the divinity of the one true God. It's amazing to me. It's absolutely amazing. I like to think of myself as someone who is intellectually adept. I would never presume, not to use the fullness of every capacity I had to interrogate someone who was bringing a new idea to me. And then, after being exhausted, I would go to other sources that I trusted in order to bring even more scrutiny to the subject. The Jews didn't do that. So they are who they are where they are, and they are going to be delivered to their own private lusts, as are all of we when we persist in sin arrogantly, persist in sin without question, persist in sin because of our own tastes and preferences, persist in sin because it serves us for a day. Persist in sin to our utter desolation. Glory be to our Lord, both now and ever, and to the age of all ages. Amen.